Good morning, beloved. Praise the Lord. I want to talk to you today about the wonderful, marvelous, awesome, precious Holy Spirit of God. Praise God. He's got a threefold purpose job to convict or reprove the world. He came with this threefold mission to convince or reprove or convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin because the world doesn't believe in Jesus. Of righteousness because those who do believe in Jesus cannot see him with their eyes. And of judgment because the prince of this world has been judged. Satan and his forces have been conquered. When you really begin to understand the job of the Holy Spirit and the purpose of the Holy Spirit, it helps us to fellowship and listen to him. It's very important to know that he never speaks of himself. The Holy Spirit never talks about the Holy Spirit. He always points us to Jesus, the life of Jesus. And so what does he do? He shows the life of Adam. It is iniquity. It's bent. It's sinful. That can't produce God's righteousness. And then he points to Jesus Christ, who is the righteousness of God. He's the righteousness of God. Oh man, I love the Holy Spirit. Now, it's a difficult journey. Some of the things I've said, people may have misunderstood. I talked about the Holy Ghost leading us through the darkness to be tested. But the Holy Spirit never leads us into temptation. The Bible says he led Jesus into the wilderness to be tried, to be tempted, but he didn't lead him into temptation. He didn't entice Jesus to sin. The Holy Spirit will never entice us to sin, but he will take us through some dark places. He didn't make the darkness, it's already there, but he takes us through some dark places to show us what we are so that he can point us to the life of Jesus because his goal. He wants us to have and to walk in the life of Jesus Christ fully. So he will show you what's in you. I've said before, and it's true, but I want to clarify something. The Holy Spirit doesn't convict a believer of sin. If you look at the scripture, he does not. But what is a believer? Even if you're born again, in your soul, there may be things you don't believe. That you just don't understand. You may not believe that you're totally bent and that you can't produce anything good. And if you don't believe that, then the Holy Spirit will convict you as an unbeliever of sin. He will show you that you can't produce. He will show you what you are, even if you somewhat believe in the Lord already, but you don't really get it. So, the idea that's being taught recently in many circles that the Holy Spirit will never convict a Christian of sin. I don't really believe that that's true because most Christians do not really believe that they can't produce anything good. Most Christians don't really believe that they had to die and have to turn away from their own life so that they can walk in the life of the last Adam. They don't really understand that. They don't really believe that. So the Holy Spirit is working in every Adam's life and every human being's life to show them the sinfulness of the life of Adam and to show them the righteousness of God that is in Christ Jesus. Now, once we are truly a disciple of Jesus, Jesus told his disciples, the Holy Spirit will convict them of sin because they don't believe in me. And then he said, but the Holy Spirit will convict you of righteousness because I'm going to the Father and you can see me no more. So Jesus very clearly taught there's a different purpose of the Holy Spirit in a true disciple. A true disciple, the Holy Spirit does not show sin. He shows the righteousness of God that is in Christ always. He's always pointing to the life of the last Adam, to a true disciple. But what is a true disciple? Jesus said, if any man does not hate his own life, he can't be my disciple. If any man doesn't give up all that he has, he can't be my disciple. If he doesn't hate his mother, father, brother, sister, wife, children, even his own life, he can't be my disciple. So a true disciple is someone who understands how wicked their life is as a natural person. They're like Paul, who said, I know that there's no good thing in me. A true disciple is one who has been broken, like Peter was broken when he thought that he really loved the Lord with his zeal and his effort, and he found out he didn't. And in that brokenness, he was able to turn away from himself and his own zeal and his pride and his efforts to produce righteousness and believe in the life of Jesus Christ. So the Holy Spirit always points a true disciple to the life of Jesus, not to sin. Why would the Holy Spirit point a true disciple to sin when they already know about it? They already understand it. So the Holy Spirit doesn't point the true disciple to his sin. He points the true disciple who hates his life to the life of Jesus. So every time a true disciple's discouraged, every time a true disciple is overwhelmed when he sees his own weakness, his own failures, then the Holy Spirit is a true disciple's comforter. He's not every Christian's comforter, because many Christians don't know that they are iniquity. They don't understand it. They're trying to serve God, live for God, and be good so they can get to heaven, and they haven't rejected their own life. So the Holy Spirit doesn't comfort everybody. The Holy Spirit comforts the true disciple. He comforts them and points them to the life of Jesus. When they're discouraged, when they see their own weakness, when they see their own failure, the Holy Spirit shows them it's already been conquered. Hallelujah. Woo! I get excited even thinking about that. It's already been defeated. It's already been conquered. Don't be afraid. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Amen. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Points us to the life of the last Adam. And when you see your own life, the Holy Spirit says, don't be afraid. It's already been crucified. Simply believe. Believe and confess what he's accomplished. Bring every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ, what he did on that cross, and then your obedience will be full. Then your obedience will be complete. Because God, I said yesterday in the devotion, I want you to understand this because it's a deep truth that many people understand and may even think I'm saying something that's not true. I said that the Holy Spirit does not come to help you in your Adamic life to be obedient to God. They had the Holy Spirit in the Old Covenant. He was helping them to, and none of them ever were perfectly obedient. He does not come to help your Adamic life be obedient to God, but he does come to lead you into, to walk in the perfect obedient life of Jesus Christ. If we will turn away from our own life and receive and learn how to lay hold of and believe and confess unto salvation, then we will walk in the life of Jesus, which is perfectly obedient, always obedient. So the Holy Spirit will lead you to the obedient life that is different than the Holy Spirit helping your life be obedient. I hope you can see that difference. The Holy Spirit's not here to help Jeff be obedient. The Holy Spirit's here to show Jeff that he could never be obedient, even on his best day, no matter how hard he tries. Apart from the life of Jesus, Jeff can't do a single thing. So the Holy Spirit's not here to help me be obedient with commandments and teaching me what's right and teaching me what's wrong. That's religion. It doesn't work. You can try it. Go ahead and try it, but it doesn't work. He's here not to teach and help Jeff be obedient. He's here to teach Jeff that he never could, and that's why he had to die. And he takes me by the hand with the law, with the commandments, showing me what I'm not, and leads me to the life of obedience, the life of Jesus Christ. It's so vastly different. That's why it's not by might, it's not by power, but it is by my spirit, saith the Lord. You can't produce it. Apart from me, you can do nothing, Jesus said. And then he went on and on about if you don't keep my commandments, you need to keep my commandments. But at first he said, you can't do anything. You can't do anything apart from me. But most people miss that and they get down there and say, you need to keep my commandments. If you don't keep, what is Jesus saying? Jesus is saying, without my life, you'll never keep my commandments at all. You can't. You can't do anything in your own life. Apart from the life of Jesus, you can't do anything. And so that's what the Holy Spirit's here to show us. He's here to teach us that. Why? Because the Holy Spirit's not leading us to disobedience. He's not leading us to a false grace message where we think that now we can continue to walk in our flesh and continue to sin and do things that God commands us not to do, and that now we're saved because we're under grace, even though we continue to do those things. No, the Holy Spirit's here to lead us to the obedient life of Jesus Christ. He's here to convict us of that, reprove us, point us to the life of Jesus. If we're sinning, then we're walking in our own life. You know, when we're weak and when we're broken, it's so we can learn to turn to the life of Jesus. We can believe in the resurrection, in the God who raises the dead. So without the Holy Spirit, we'll never get it. There's no way. It's without a revelation from the Spirit, we cannot understand spiritual things. They don't make any sense. When I tell somebody that doesn't have a revelation of the truth, the Holy Spirit's not here to help you be obedient. If they're religious, they're automatically going to reject that and think, brother, well, you're teaching false things. The Holy Spirit's here to help us be obedient to God. But they don't understand what I'm saying. The Holy Spirit's not here to help your Adamic life be obedient. He's here to show it that it could never be, so that he can lead you to the life of Jesus Christ, which always is. Amen. But you can't have the life of Jesus that's always obedient as long as you want your own life that will never be fully obedient. If that makes sense to you, I hope it does in Jesus' name. But the Holy Spirit is our wonderful friend. I was raised as a charismatic. So, you know, I believed anybody has the Holy Spirit, baptism of the Holy Spirit, they got to speak in tongues. And I still believe that's one of the main manifestations whenever somebody's baptized in the Holy Spirit, that the Spirit taking over, something manifesting very clearly. There's prophesying, there's speaking in tongues. But, you know, I read Andrew Murray's writings, and he's constantly talking about being filled with the Spirit. He always stayed in the Spirit, or at least always attempted to stay in the Spirit, always yielding, giving up himself, believing in the life of the Spirit of God. And he was constantly connected to the Spirit of God, and yet he never spoke in tongues. He didn't even know if that was real or not. You know, he didn't do that. And when people tried to convince him and force him into that, he said, leave me alone. He didn't speak in tongues. But does that mean he didn't have, or he wasn't filled with the Spirit? Man, he was always filled with the Spirit, walking in the life of God. Now, I'm not trying to preach that or teach that to argue doctrine. You know, I've always believed as an Assembly of God pastor, the initial evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is speaking in tongues. But I see things that make me question my strong stance. And that they call that in the Assemblies of God, they call that their doctrine that's, I can't remember the word for it, but distinctive doctrine. They call that their distinctive doctrine. It means we believe this, even though other people don't believe it, and this is what makes us different from other people. Listen, I don't care if somebody ever speaks in tongues. I know many, many, many tongue talkers that don't walk in the Spirit at all. They don't walk in the life of Jesus. They're sinning all the time, doing all kind of crazy stuff. But they talk in tongues, and so that's a gift. That's a gift from the Spirit. It's not the Spirit himself. It's a gift from the Spirit. And then you have men like Andrew Murray, who always were walking in the Spirit, and yet they didn't talk in tongues. They didn't have the gift of tongues. And so I don't like to argue about those things anymore. What we need, the Spirit is a person. He's not just a gift giver. He's a teacher. Jesus didn't even say the Holy Spirit will come and give you gifts, even though he does. But Jesus didn't say that. Jesus said he's going to come, and he said he's going to show the unbeliever sin, the iniquity that's in the life of Adam. He's going to show the true disciples the righteousness that is in the life of the last Adam. And he's going to show Satan and all of his forces, they have been conquered through the cross. Amen. It's beautiful. And he's going to comfort the true disciple. He's going to comfort you. And he's going to lead us into all of the truth. And when we know the truth, friend, Jesus said it'll make us free from sin. It'll make us free from bondage. It'll completely deliver us when we really understand the truth. The Holy Spirit's goal always, always is to bring you into the life of Jesus Christ. Now, he may take you through some dark places because of the sin that's in us. He doesn't produce that sin, but he may take you into some places to show you that it's there. And that is what I was talking about when the Holy Spirit will lead you through the darkness. He will lead you to places where you will be tempted by Satan. But it's not the Holy Spirit enticing you to sin. It's not him tempting you to sin. It's not like leading you into temptation. It's different. He leads you to the wilderness. He leads you to dark places. And in those places, the devil's going to tempt you because the Holy Spirit's showing you, for example, with Peter, Satan's desire to sift you like wheat. And when you're restored, Jesus said. So God allowed it. God allowed that to take place. The Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness, and in that wilderness, he faced the devil. The Holy Spirit will lead us to certain things. I believe the Holy Spirit led me to quit pastoring. And whenever I quit pastoring, I went into the wilderness. The Holy Spirit wasn't enticing me to sin, but he was saying, there's some things you need to learn, some things you need to understand. So you need to quit the ministry right now, this type of ministry right now. I've got some things to show you. There's some things you need to understand. And I had to face some demons. I had to face some powers of darkness. I had to face some misconceptions within my own self. I had to face some compromises. The Holy Spirit never enticed me, but he did lead me to a place where I was in darkness. And then I found out a lot of things I needed to find out. And I'm more thankful for that than anything else I could imagine. Thank God. Thank God. He doesn't just always try to lead us to a place of happiness. Thank God, he will lead us to difficult places. He will. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse trials and temptations. For the trying of your faith worketh patience. Amen. And that's the Holy Spirit will allow us to go into those places. Yeah. He did it with the Apostle Paul. He did it with Peter. He did it with Jesus. He'll do it with all of us. But we've got to understand his goal is never, ever, ever to get us to sin. His goal is never, ever, ever to hurt us. His goal is never, ever, ever to destroy us. It is always to bring us into the precious and marvelous life of Jesus Christ. And so we need to cultivate a relationship with the Holy Spirit. But you can't do that if you don't really understand who he is and what his purpose is, because you'll confuse your own thoughts, and then the devil can get in there too and deceive and say things that you might think are coming from the Holy Spirit. So we need to know who he is, what he is, and what his purpose is. He never talks about himself. He never speaks of himself. He always shows us what belongs to Jesus. He shows us what's in Jesus Christ, in the life of the last Adam. He shows us what's wrong with the life of the first Adam. And he convicts the prince of this world that he has been defeated once and for all through the cross of Calvary. He comforts us because of our weaknesses and our failures. He enables us to pray because we're weak and because of our failures. He enables us to pray correctly as we pray in the Spirit. Now, I always heard that's talking in tongues, and I do pray in tongues. But I believe you can pray in the Spirit even if you don't pray in tongues. The Holy Spirit can give you what to pray. He can show you what to ask. Matter of fact, the more I understand the truth, the more I pray with the understanding. The Holy Spirit's teaching me to pray with the understanding. So when I see my weakness, I know how to pray now. I don't come to God and say, "Oh God, help me not be weak." When I see my weakness, I say, "Thank you, Lord, that you have given me the life of Jesus Christ, and you have crucified this old man. And I pray for the life of Christ to be manifest in my weakness. Let the strength of God be revealed in my weakness." That's praying with the understanding. That's praying in the Holy Ghost. Most charismatics and Pentecostals, you have to speak in tongues to pray in the Holy Ghost. And that's not true. It's not always true, for sure. How did Andrew Murray pray in the Spirit? Did he never pray in the Spirit his whole life? No. Of course he did. Of course he prayed in the Spirit. Of course the Spirit showed him what to pray. And there are groanings and utterings that we don't know. I mean, even if you're not speaking in tongues, the Spirit of God groaning through you, groaning through you and seeking the Lord. And in those groanings, in those cryings to God, when we don't even know what to pray, the Holy Spirit shows us and He teaches us and leads us into how to genuinely pray the right way. And as we pray in the Spirit, we build up our faith. We build up our faith. Amen. I love that. Because if you're praying without the understanding, oh God, I'm so weak, I can't do it, I can't, God, I'm so, then there's no room for faith. But when the Holy Spirit begins to show you, Jesus has conquered this, and the righteousness is in Him. Believe what He accomplished. Confess what He accomplished. Your faith begins to be built up even when you're weak, even in your worst day, when you're the most broken, when you sin, when you do stuff wrong. God didn't lead you to sin, but we do. When we're weak, we often sin. Many of us, we do. All of us, actually. At times, we sin when we're weak, when we're broken. We sin, we doubt. We are temperamental, whatever it may be. You know, we're sinful. We're not totally giving up ourselves for others. That's sin in itself. And so, you know, when we're doing that, the Holy Spirit doesn't point to the sin. If we believe, if we understand, He points to the life of Jesus, the righteousness of God that is in Christ, and says, don't be afraid, only believe. Amen. Only believe and confess what He's accomplished. Amen. And you'll experience that power of His resurrection. So God bless you today. In the marvelous name of Jesus, I pray that He will help you to cultivate a relationship with the Holy Spirit, the teacher who's here to show us what belongs to us in Christ Jesus. Amen. God bless you.